Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that is our desire this morning, that we would praise the Lord. And Lord, that we would testify to the things that you have done. Lord, we are very blessed. Help us to keep that in mind. And now, as we look at your word, may you speak to us afresh, and may we be changed because we have been in your presence. It is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. This morning's passage comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 31, and I will be reading verses 5 through 10. 2 Chronicles 31, starting with verse 5. As soon as the command was spread abroad, the people of Israel gave an abundance, the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of cattle and sheep, and the tithe of the dedicated things that had been dedicated to the Lord their God, and laid them in heaps. In the third month, they began to pile up the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the priests came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. And Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps. Azariah, the chief priest, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, "Since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and had enough and have plenty left over, for the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left." This is God's word. To understand this passage and Hezekiah's heaps, we must answer two basic questions about this passage this morning. The questions involve what he was doing and exactly why he was doing it. So first, what was Hezekiah doing? The answer to this first question can be found in chapters 29 and 30 of 2 Chronicles. Actually, the answer has its beginning in chapter 28, verse 1. The answer is not a complicated one, but it is an answer that spans several chapters in the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 28, 1 says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Ahaz chose to make idols for worshiping other gods and offer sacrifices to those false gods. Ahaz even took things from the temple of God and shut the doors so that no one could worship there. Ahaz led the people of Judah to worship other gods, and this angered the Lord. Ahaz was a king who led the people away from God and away from all that Israel should have been. So you may be asking, what does this have to do with Hezekiah? And the answer to what Hezekiah was doing in chapter 31. Who is this Ahaz? I thought we were talking about Hezekiah. Well, 2 Chronicles 29 begins with the reign of the new king after Ahaz, and his name was Hezekiah. And he was the son of Ahaz. Chapter 29, verse 2 tells us all that we need to know about Hezekiah. It says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. Immediately, we see the huge difference between King Ahaz and his father and King Hezekiah, the son. notice the differences between 28:1, where it says that Ahaz did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and in 29:2, where it tells us that Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Hezekiah was committed to God and not to idols or false gods. But what was facing Hezekiah when he became king? The temple was closed. The Levites were gone. The furnishings of the temple were also gone. There were altars on every street corner of Jerusalem to every kind of god imaginable. There were high places in all the towns to worship idols. There were idols all around. The unfaithfulness of his father had spread to every person and every town that Hezekiah ruled. It was time for Hezekiah to clean house, both literally and figuratively. So in 29:3, we see that he opened the doors of the temple and he repaired them. In 29, verses 4 through 16, he gathered the Levites. In 29:17 through 19, he took out all the unclean things from the temple and restored it. In 29:20 through 35, he offered sacrifices to God. And at the end of chapter 29, in verses 35 and 36, we see that he reinstituted all of the temple practices. I would encourage you, when you leave here today, later, or sometime during the week, to read chapter 30 and to see what it was like when they celebrated the Passover. This was something that hadn't been done, and certainly hadn't been done at this scale for a long time. And then in verses 26 of chapter 30 through the first four verses of chapter 31, Hezekiah sent people into the towns to destroy the idols. And that leads us to the verses that we read in chapter 31. So what was Hezekiah doing? Now, with that context, let me reread the passage. As soon as the command was spread abroad, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of cattle and sheep and the tithe of the dedicated things that had been dedicated to the Lord their God and laid them in heaps. In the third month, they began to pile up the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. And Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps. Azariah, the chief priest, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, "Since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and have had plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left." Hezekiah, in addition to all that he was doing with the temple and destroying idols, was also reinstating the tithe. Hezekiah assigned the Levites to their duties in verse 2, and then was all set. All was restored. And verse 3 tells us that the king gave from his possession according to the law. Hezekiah wanted all the other people to do the same. Hezekiah wanted all the people to tithe from what they had. Verse 5 tells us that the order went out and all of the Israelites gave generously. The Israelites, now refamiliarized themselves with their God, knew that he loved generous gifts. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, "Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." Psalm 37 tells us that righteous people give generously and lend freely. Even in the New Testament, giving generously is encouraged. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 states, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The people brought fruit and grain and wine and honey and all that their fields produced. They brought so much that there were huge piles, and all the tithes were in heaps. In verse 7, we see that the giving of tithes was so abundant that it took 4 months to simply receive all of the gifts. Commentators believe that this took time from the place of the Feast of Weeks, which is in the third month, until the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, which is in the seventh month. I want you to notice the reaction of Hezekiah and his officials when they came upon these heaps of offerings. Verse 8 tells us that they praise the Lord and blessed the people of Israel. They were elated at the outpouring of generosity of the people. The chief priest almost quotes Deuteronomy 15:10 directly. He says that the Lord had blessed the people, and the priests and everyone were provided for. It says they blessed the Lord, and this was both for giving such plentiful provisions to his land and also for giving his people such liberal and pious hearts towards this good work. Their happiness was not only because it meant that there would be plenty for the priests and Levites, it also showed that the Spirit of God was working powerfully in the people of Israel. And just to have insight into the generosity of the people as they brought their gifts, we read that list of fruit and grain and wine and honey. And if you look at the Levitical law, fruit and grain and wine are to be used in the offering. Honey is not something that is offered up as part of an offering to the Lord. But knowing that the offering that they were presenting was not only unto the Lord, but also for the provision for the Levites, the honey was something that they could eat and could eat in abundance. And it also talks of the tithe of the dedicated things. And that probably refers to the gifts that were made by the Levites to the priest from what they themselves had received. So the Levites are tithing on the tithe. So number two, we know now what Hezekiah was doing. Number two is, why was Hezekiah doing this? Why was Hezekiah restoring the temple? Why was Hezekiah gathering the priests? Why was Hezekiah destroying idols and altars throughout the land? And why was Hezekiah reinstating the tithe? When King Hezekiah sent this out, it was a command. He did not present this as an option for the people of Judah. They were commanded to fulfill their obligations under the law of Moses, to support the priesthood through their tithes. In Numbers 18, we read, "To the Levites I give every tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service that they do their service in the tent of meeting, so that the people of Israel do not come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the people of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said of them that they shall have no inheritance among the people of Israel." So this is why Hezekiah had it as a command that the people should bring in the tithe. It says in Numbers 18:21. I have given the children of Levi all the tithes of Israel. God commanded the tithes, a giving of 10% of one's income, to be given to the Levites for their support. This establishes the principle that the tithe belongs to God. He said, he, meaning God, said, I have given. And so these tithes are his to give, but he gave them to the Levites. When an Israelite failed to give their tithe, they were not just robbing the Levite, though the money ended up with them. They were ultimately, if you look at Malachi chapter 3, they were robbing God. Because God received the tithe from the giver, and he gave it to the Levite. So why was Hezekiah doing this? It had to do with faithfulness. King Ahaz had led the people away from God, and the people sinned greatly against God. God was angry. They were willfully disobeying the first four commandments. Hezekiah was calling the people back to faithfulness to God. This meant restoring the temple. This meant getting the priests and Levites back to work. This meant observing the Passover. And, in this morning's passage, this meant tithing. It all had to do with worship. Hezekiah wanted to follow in the footsteps of David. Hezekiah wanted to worship God. This meant that the temple had to be a holy place dedicated only to God. This meant that sacrifices needed to be given. This meant that the stores were filled with the tithes of the people. Later on in this chapter, beyond the verses that we read this morning, when Hezekiah realized how much there was in abundance, he decided the best solution to that problem was to create storehouses so that they could store the abundance that was left over. All of these things had to be in place for worship of Yahweh to begin again. It all had to do with holiness. I say it had to do with holiness because the people of Israel were, in fact, a holy people. Or they were supposed to be. They were God's chosen people. They were set apart for God's purposes. That is what holy means. Means set apart for God's use. The people of God were no longer holy and were worshiping false idols and gods. Hezekiah wanted to make his people holy again. Moses had warned the children of Israel before they went into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, we read, When you father children and children's children and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord, your God, so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed, and the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands, that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. So, what does this mean for us? Do you want to be faithful? Do you want to worship God? Do you want to be holy, to be set apart for His use? Sometimes we can get out of step with God. Sometimes we can follow the wrong path and lose some of our faithfulness. Maybe you need some revival in your life. Maybe you need to return to faithfulness and holiness in your life. Maybe you need to jumpstart your worship. Revival is always marked by an overwhelming sense of Christ's presence in the church. For Hezekiah, his revival was marked by an overwhelming sense of God's presence among the people. Throughout history, the marks of revival include increased and renewed participation in worship, an outpouring of love among God's people, a heightened awareness of holiness with confession, repentance, and restitution, an eagerness for service, anointed preaching of an individual interest in the holy word of God, a growing boldness in prayer, a remarkable ease in witnessing to and evangelize the non-churched community, an all-out involvement in spiritual warfare. And lastly, throughout history, one of the marks of revival has been an unusual sense of well-being or wholeness. If you feel God calling you to pursue deeper faithfulness, to pursue holiness, to pray for revival, I would encourage you to come out on Wednesday evening at 6:30 for this month's Sacred Assembly. A reminder, we started these Sacred Assemblies 2 years ago during the Lenten period. And when the pastor taught us about the Sacred Assembly, he taught from Joel chapter 2, where we read, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents over disaster. Who knows whether He will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her chamber." All of these things that Hezekiah did were to help his people return to God. Part of what he reinstated and restored was the giving of tithes. It was the final piece of the picture he was trying to restore. The temple was finished, and the priests had returned. Idols were destroyed, as well as the altars. But it was incomplete. The people were, again, faithful holy worshipers when they worshipped by the giving of gifts. They were, again, in the people of God when they praised God for His blessings by honoring His law and His desire. Now, I am not saying that tithing is the be-all and end-all to faithfulness, worship, and holiness, but it is a mark. It is also important to understand that tithing is not a principle dependent on the Mosaic law. As Hebrews explains, tithing was also practiced and honored by God before the law of Moses. In Hebrews 7, we read, "And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham. What the New Testament does speak with great clarity on is the principle of giving. That it should be regular, that it should be planned, that it should be proportional, and according to 1 Corinthians 16, it should be private. In 2 Corinthians 9, that it should be generous, freely given, and cheerful. Since giving is to be proportional, we should be giving some percentage. 10 is a good benchmark, and it's a starting place, but for some, to give 10% is nowhere near enough. For others, especially at this present time, with the constraints that we're facing in society, 5% may be a massive step of faith. If our question is, how little can I give and still be pleasing to God? Our heart isn't in the right place at all. We should have the attitude of some early Christians who essentially said, we're not under the tithe. We can give more. Giving and financial management, according to Luke 16, is a spiritual issue, not just a financial one. So as we conclude, how could Hezekiah turn the nation of Judah around so quickly and completely? And what can we learn from today's passage that might allow our nation, our communities, our church, and our families to return to the purpose God has planned for us? I believe the answer can be found in verses 20 and 21 of this chapter. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. And every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Hezekiah was the quintessential servant leader who was driven by the vision of what Judah could be if they would turn their hearts toward the Lord. Hezekiah's faith in God and vision for Judah compelled him to give himself wholeheartedly to this endeavor. Generations later, the prophet Jeremiah would write the following to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. He wrote, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Let's pray. Through Jesus Christ, we come to Thee, our Father, and in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, it is our desire this morning that we would not be in exile, that we would not be far off from You as a result of choices and decisions and actions that we have made. Our desire, Lord, is that we would seek You, and that we would find You, and that we would do so with our whole heart. Lord, I'd ask that You would take this example from 2 Chronicles, and that You would cause us to pause and to reflect, first of all, on the blessings which You have bestowed upon us individually, us as families, us as a congregation. And then, Lord, that You would lead us in how it is that we are to respond. And, Lord, that that would be through worship and praise and acknowledgement of how You have blessed us. Lord, thank You for the generosity of this congregation over the years. Thank You for Your faithfulness and Your provision to them, and their then provision to the leadership to be able to continue to do the work of ministry. And Lord, we do pray for revival. We pray that You would call us closer to You, that You would call for us to rend our hearts and not our garments. Lord, we want to see You move in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our communities, in our nation. And Lord, we know it starts with us. Guide us as we consider Your call, as You have set us apart for Your purposes. It is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.